and presenting original theater from local, national, and international artists. NACL.org.
This is 90.5 FM WJFF Jeffersonville, New York, and 94.5 FM W233AH Monticello, New York, and streaming live online at WJFFradio.org. It's 1 p.m. and it's about 45 degrees here at our studios in Jeffersonville, New York. Stay tuned for the WJFF Arts Calendar, followed by Now and Then.
Support for this program comes from our listeners and from Catskill Farms, builder of early American architecture in Eldred, New York, on the web at thecatskillfarms.com.
Welcome to WJFF's calendar. Here are some of the arts and cultural events taking place in our listening area this week. Saturday, April 23rd, Riverfolk Concerts presents Carla Ulbricht at the Old Branch Inn, 869 North Branch Road in North Branch, New York, at 8 p.m. 845-252-6783. The Outsider Studio Collective present Narrative Art at the Flower Power Bakery, 87 DeBruce Road in Livingston Manor, New York, through April 30th, 607-498-4547. Carol Hepper, Strong Language and Special Project by Trisha Baja, at Calicoon Fine Arts Gallery, 27 Lower Main Street in Calicoon, New York, through May 14th. Architecture, doors, windows, porticos, and passages on display at the Wurtsboro Art Alliance Gallery, 73 Sullivan Street in Wurtsboro, New York, through May 1st. www.waagallery.org. Face-to-face interface, Portraiture of the Northeast on display at the Blue Heron Gallery, 20 Main Street in Wyalusing, Pennsylvania, through April 28, 570-746-1187. Roscoe Upstarts presents the River and Rose Show at 1968 Old Route 17 on display through May 1st, 607-498-4496. Made in Brooklyn, 13 Artists, 20 Years, on display at the Hanson Gallery, 1037 Main Street in Honesdale, Pennsylvania, through May 30th, 570-253-2525. All new members exhibition at the Catskill Artist Gallery, 38 South Main Street in Liberty, New York, through June 19th, 845-292-0310. The Kaz Sullivan County High School Art Show on display at the Catskill Art Society, 48 Main Street in Livingston Manor, New York, through May 8, 845-436-4227. The WJFF calendar can now be found at WJFFradio.org on the archive page. Thank you for listening. Please stay tuned. Kathy Geary. Welcome to Now and Then. On today's program, we're going to be listening to the music of a really amazingly talented singer-songwriter. He's the lead vocalist for the band Arcade Fire. His name is Wynn Butler. Arcade Fire.
Arcade Fire. Wow. Arcade Fire. I was in Manhattan, and I was driving past Madison Square Garden, and I saw their name on the marquee, Arcade Fire. And I keep running across their name online, and I hear the name here and there, you know, and I know they're a new band. So I'm a musician, and I love music, but, you know, it's not my habit to listen to commercial radio. I don't hear a lot of the new bands coming out. By the time I hear them, they've already gotten the Grammy Album of the Year. And Arcade Fire got the Grammy Album of the Year for 2010. The song we just heard is called The Suburbs, and that's the title of their third studio album. So where have I been? Oh my God. When I heard that song, I just took a chance. You know, I'd seen their name and I got curious. And I went online to Amazon or something. You know how you can like preview a track? And I heard a little bit of the song. I just heard like maybe 30 seconds of this song. And I'm going, whoa. Oh my God, who is that? So I couldn't help it. I got swept up by the music of Arcade Fire. And I'm going to be presenting their music to you today. And I'm just astounded by the maturity of this music, by the depth of the lyrics, by the structure of the songs, by the performances. I'm swept off my feet by this band. And it's been a long time since I've heard music on the radio that seemed more than ornamental. Do you know? Arcade Fire. They're what's called an indie band. They're also called an alternative band. I don't understand why we have to use those terms. They're a rock and roll band. And they are not sponsored by any major commercial label. Their first album was released in 2004, and it went a gold. They are completely independent of any major label. They're not on Warner Brothers. They're not on Geffen. They're completely independent. So they're a very large band. There's like 7 people in this band, or 8, or maybe 10, depending on when you see them and what music they're playing. But, you know, a typical rock and roll band is 4 people. There are 7 people in this band, and the instrumentation that they play is really something else. You know, between them all, they've got guitar, drums, bass guitar, piano, violin, viola, cello, double bass, xylophone, glockenspiel, French horn, accordion, harp, mandolin, hurdy-gurdy. I mean, the instrumentation is astounding. The members of Arcade Fire are Wynn Butler, his wife, Regine Cassagne, Richard Perry, William Butler, his brother, Jeremy Gara, Sarah Newfield, Tim Kingsbury, and on their most recent tour, Marika Anthony Shaw. That's quite a mouthful. So Arcade Fire, really large band, 7 people, and at the heart of this band is a songwriting duo, a man named Wynn Butler and his wife Regine Cassagne. So I was very curious about Wynn Butler. There's something very charismatic about the sound of his voice. I think that's what struck me first. There's a sound there. It's like John Lennon is singing to you. It sounds like David Byrne. Maybe it's Paul Simon. Who is that voice? Is it Neil Young? Oh my God, that voice has such a quality to it that it's like I can't help but listen to what he has to say as if it's someone that I know. I don't know. I want you to listen to the music today and listen to it in the way that I hear it. Wynn Butler. Okay, he's an American. Of the 7 people in the band, most of them are Canadian. But Wynn Butler and his brother William, who's also in the band with him, they were both born in California. Wynn was born in 1980, and his full name is Edwin, so the nickname is Wynn Butler. And in an interview that they gave on NPR, Wynn was talking about where he was born, and he says, quote, "Will and I were born in a really small town in California on the Nevada border, maybe 50 people on the side of a mountain." We moved to the suburbs of Houston, Texas, when we were young. Being a very young child, it's like going to Mars or something. The blast of hot air when you get off the jet plane at Houston. All right, so the family moves to Houston, Texas, and they're a Mormon family. Wynn Butler is raised with a very conservative Mormon upbringing, and they're living in a very manicured upper middle class suburb in Houston, Texas, called the Woodlands. So when he's 15 years old, Wynn Butler attends a boarding school, Phillips Exeter Academy. It's a prep school in New Hampshire. So he's in prep school, and this kid is 6 feet five, okay? He's playing varsity basketball. He's playing softball, and he's playing in a few different bands. When he graduates there, he goes to Sarah Lawrence College, and he studies photography and creative writing. But he leaves after a year. So when does Arcade Fire start? Well, he starts playing with the name Wynn Butler and his friend Josh Dew. They start performing in Boston as Arcade Fire in the year 2000. And then he moves to Montreal. Wynn Butler moves to Montreal to attend McGill University, where he is a religious studies major. What a background for a rock and roll star. He's a religious studies major at McGill University, and this is where he meets his wife, Regine. And I have an interesting little conversation between him and his wife. Regine, she was born in Montreal. Her parents were Haitian. They immigrated from Haiti, and Regine was studying jazz singing. She's playing the mandolin in a medieval ensemble and doing compositional experiments in 15th century music. And she's at McGill University, and so that's where these two meet. And so I have a little conversation. This is from an article in the New York Times back in 2007. This is a little conversation between Wynn and Regine about how they met. Wynn says, "We met in the school cafeteria. A week later, I went to see her singing jazz. It was immediately obvious to me that she was a real singer. I left before she was done. I didn't need to see the rest. It was so obvious. We needed to play together." And Regine says, "I remember he came one night to hear me sing, but he left before it was over, and I thought he didn't like it. And when I saw him later, I asked what he played, and when he said, 'Oh, some guitar and a little piano,' I thought, 'Boring. Everyone plays a little guitar and piano.' But right away, I was struck by the maturity of his songs. This was not just some dude noodling around on his guitar trying to impress me." So anyway, they hook up. On their very first date, they write a song together, and they form the band Arcade Fire. They start playing in a bunch of small clubs, and they record their very first album. They do an EP in 2003, but they do their very first full album called Funeral, which is released in 2004. And like I said, it's an indie album, and it goes on to become a gold album, which is really a mega hit in the indie rock community. So Funeral was recorded in an attic for $10,000. We're going to listen to a couple of songs from Arcade Fire's first album. Let's start with Wake Up, followed by Crown of Fire from Arcade's 2004 album Funeral. These songs are composed by Wynn Butler and his wife, Regine. However, the songwriting credit goes to the entire band. Wake Up, followed by Crown of Love. Arcade Fire, Crown of Love, and before that we heard Wake Up. I'm Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then here on WJFF, Radio Catskill, here on a rainy afternoon. So Funeral, that album was released in September of 2004, and it had gone gold by November 2005. So that's really fast. You know, no, it's a totally independent album. No TV, no radio. It's word of mouth. And it just takes off. So they start off doing a tour for this album. And they called it Funeral because they had like two or three people in the band had close people in their family that had died. And so they were all dealing with that idea of death. And they named the album Funeral. And for such a gloomy title, it doesn't affect me that way. There's something very vibrant about this sound. So anyway, so they're going out in 2004 to support the album Funeral. And they book a bunch of these small clubs. But the audiences are growing and growing. And they had to actually change a lot of venues so they could play in bigger places. They're traveling in the United States and Canada. They go to Europe. And before you know it, in April 2005, they're on the cover of Time magazine, the Canadian edition. In May 2005, they play the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival out in California. The BBC uses that track "Wake Up" that we heard in their autumn 2000 season for an ad. In September 2005, they appear on a TV special with David Bowie. And they perform the song "Wake Up," and David Bowie joins them and performs the song with them. They come to New York City. They're on the late night show with David Letterman. They do a concert in Central Park, and David Bowie shows up again. U2 starts to play that song "Wake Up" as a warm-up song for their concerts in their 2005 and 6 Vertigo tour. And eventually, Arcade Fire actually opens up 3 shows for U2 during that tour in 2005. So they're off to a huge start. Incredible popularity. And so they begin recording their second album. Their second album is called Neon Bible. And it was recorded in 2006. They go into a long year and a half, almost a 2-year tour for the album Neon Bible. That tour ends in February 2008. They are a very strong band. There are 7 people in this band, and it's a very democratic situation. They work together, they live together, they purchased a small church outside of Quebec, about 40 miles outside of Quebec, outside of Montreal. And they convert it into a recording studio. It's got like a 100-foot ceiling and all this incredible reverb going on. And so they record their next album in their own recording studio, Neon Bible. And this is even a more accomplished album than the first. It's an interesting sound. It's called art rock. And maybe that's why it appeals to me, because I hear this combination of a classical sensibility. That must be Regine. She brings something to the table. And when you put it together, this wild rock and roll attitude with these really incredible symphonic arrangements, the violins and the strings, those are people in the band. They're on stage playing live. These are not synthesizers. These are live musicians playing real instruments. And maybe that's why they call it art rock. But I'm just really, I've just really been hooked on this band, Arcade Fire. We're going to be listening to the single that came out of the Neon Bible album. It's called Black Mirror. Neon Bible, when it was released, it ended up being number 2 in the Billboard Top 200 charts when it was released. So it was a huge hit immediately, and they actually made an appearance on Saturday Night Live in February of 2007 to promote this album. And so let's listen to a track called Black Mirror. One of the things I really liked about the new album, The Suburbs, is it's very easy to understand the vocals. They've come through the indie territory into more of a mainstream pop sound. By the time they get to The Suburbs album, we're going to be hearing more from The Suburbs right after this. But the Neon Bible album, the song is called Black Mirror, and let me read just a little bit of the lyrics for you. I walked down to the ocean after waking from a nightmare. No moon, no pale reflection. Black mirror shot by a security camera. You can't watch your own image and also look yourself in the eye. Black mirror, I know a time is coming. All words will lose their meaning. Please show me something that isn't mine. Black mirror, show me where the bombs will fall. Black mirror. Arcade Fire, from their Neon Bible album, Black Mirror. Arcade Fire from their Neon Bible album. It's an interesting recording. Neon Bible is a live recording. You know, when you go into a recording studio today, it's all digital. And you can sing a phrase, and if you're flat, you can put it through a machine and they can crank it up, or you can sing one word over and they can paste it in, and you can go on and on and on until you, you know, tweak it and finally get the exact right recording you want. So a lot of bands record digitally, you know, but when Arcade Fire recorded Neon Bible, they did a live recording. Their basic tracks, the bed tracks. What happens is they bought this church, you know, 100-foot ceilings, the stage and everything. So they are playing live on the church stage, and they're recording this music on an analog tape. Yes, they are recording to analog. So there's something about the intensity of the live performance in these recordings. And it's interesting because not only do they have a certain aesthetic about how to record the music and what the music means and how to present it, but they really do experiment. They really do try to accomplish something artistically. They go to Hungary and they get a Hungarian orchestra and a men's chorus, and they also are playing on that Black album, on that Black Mirror song that we just heard, that features a full symphonic orchestra on it. And they're amazing. They're an independent band. And so the Neon Bible Tour is huge. You know, it's a year of touring, 122 shows for the Neon Bible Tour, 33 festivals, 75 cities, 19 countries. Okay, so they're huge. You know, they're huge. And they still hold on to fiercely hold on to this whole idea of independency. You know, they had a chance to tour with REM, and they turned it down because they wanted to continue performing in their full-length shows. They refused to play Britain's Top of the Pops because typically bands lip-sync on that show, and they refused to play until they were allowed to play live. Many record labels have tried to sign them up, lavish dinners, you know, all this kind of stuff. No way. So I have a couple of quotes here from Wynn and his wife, Regine, what they have to say about that. Wynn says, "For Neon Bible, we met with a lot of dudes, but honestly, it wasn't that interesting. Merge, their record label, Merge is like the labels used to be, based on someone's taste and interest in music," Regine says, "instead of statistics and marketing." And Wynn says, "If you look at the websites of a lot of the majors, they're selling everything. Hip-hop, country, Disney soundtracks. It's throw a lot of garbage at the wall and see what sticks," Regine says. So they're fiercely independent, and the music shows it. The music is truly astounding. And after they did their Neon Bible album, they recorded an album called The Suburbs. They recorded The Suburbs in the same studio, in their recording studio, their church. And we're going to be listening to more music from The Suburbs. City with No Children. City with No Children, an incredible song. All of the songs on The Suburbs are intertwined. The lyrics of the songs are intertwined. Lines appear in one song and appear in another song. Melodies, things are intertwined in this album. This album is a piece of work. The City with No Children, here's some of the lyrics. "The summer that I broke my hand, I waited for your letter. I have no feeling for you now that I know you better. I wish that I could have loved you then, before our age was through, and before a world war does with us whatever it will do. I dreamt I drove home to Houston on a highway that was underground. There was no light that we could see. I felt like I've been living a life in a city with no children in it, a garden left for ruin by a millionaire inside of a private prison. You never trust a millionaire quoting the Sermon on the Mount. I used to think I was not like them, but I'm beginning to have my doubts about it. I feel like I've been living in a city with no children in it, a garden left for ruin by a millionaire inside of a private prison. I feel like I've been living in a city with no children in it, as I hide inside of my private prison." Okay, The Suburbs, heavy stuff. Arcade Fire, A City with No Children.
sailing. We'll be right back.
Arcade Fire. Yes, the songwriting of Win Butler and his wife, Regine Cassagna. Arcade Fire, 2011 Grammy Album of the Year. Just a couple of days ago, on April 19th, Arcade Fire made an announcement that they're going to be releasing a deluxe edition of this album called The Suburbs this coming June on the 27th. And it's going to include a documentary, Spike Jonze Scenes from the Suburbs, a making of the album. And it's got two new tracks that are going to be added, Speaking in Tongues and Culture War. We just heard two songs from The Suburbs, City with No Children, and then we just heard Deep Blue. My name is Kathy Geary, and you've been listening to Now and Then here on WJFF. And you know, WJFF is having a fabulous event on Saturday, May the 7th, Foodstock. Foodstock 2011, Fine Food and Wine Festival, right up my alley. That's at the Villa Roma Resort in Calicoon, and it's on Mother's Day weekend. Foodstock, 50 different vendors from all across the Catskills, both sides of the river, Pennsylvania, New York, farmers and producers, growers of all kinds. Foodstock, bakeries, restaurants, wineries, everybody offering samples of their products. Restaurants are coming with their signature dishes, fresh produce of all kinds, baked goods, breads, jams, preserves, maple sugar products, desserts, fudge, ice cream, sauce, pesto, cheese, coffee, you know, locally produced wines. Foodstock, Saturday, May 7th at the Villa Roma. This is a fundraising event for WJFF. We're your community radio station, listener-supported radio. So yes, Arcade Fire, The Suburbs. I'm just like all just taken over by this album. So I love the title track. And because, you know, we only got to hear it once, I thought I'd play it again to take us out. So one more time from The Suburbs Arcade Fire. This is the title track.
Yeah.
Kathy Geary. And you've been listening to Now and Then here on WJFF, today's program featuring the music of Arcade Fire. The lead singer and the songwriter, Wynn Butler, and his wife, Regine Cassagne. I hope you've enjoyed today's program. Next weekend, we're going to be listening to Paul Simon's most recent release, So Beautiful, So What. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for Folk Plus.
Support for this program comes from our listeners and from Catskill Farms, builder of early American architecture in Eldred, New York, on the web at thecatskillfarms.com.
This is 90.5 FM WJFF, Jeffersonville, New York, and 94.5 FM W233AH, Monticello, New York, and streaming live online at wjffradio.org. It's 159, and it's 46 degrees here at our studios in Jeffersonville, New York. And the forecast for tonight is mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers in the afternoon.